Brian.
Scott. The Giants are back! They're back! Here comes Daniel Jones! We scored a touchdown! Yay!
We did score a touchdown. That's... I'm never going to not appreciate that again in my life.
You put him in the end zone. A beautiful, beautiful drive. Moving every play is working. Guys are open. 8 straight passes. Danny Dimes in control. Directing traffic. Throwing it all over the place.
Somebody tweeted that it was nice to see the Giants run an offense that where the playbook wasn't done by typewriter.
It was nice to just see them with a drive that just looked not that hard. That's what
right.
was nice about it. It was,
yeah.
And look, it was like second teamers. It should have looked easy, but it did, you know?
Yeah.
They just marched down the field. Like, it's not that hard. In fact, the rules have been changed so that it's the defense is at a huge disadvantage in the NFL.
Yeah.
It should be. There's lots of points and passing statistics have exploded in recent years because it's become so easy to throw the fucking ball. Have you ever watched a Giants game recently and felt like offense has become too easy?
Right. No, not at all.
Only
actually, you'd think the other way. You'd think that the rules were changed to hurt them.
Yeah.
To hurt the offense. Yeah, 9 straight passes, too. Thank God. Just come on. Thank God, Giants, for just playing offense.
Right. Just playing normal offense, the way that other teams play. And, you know, again, like some of the easy throws, like that's what you just never had in recent years. Like where the play design works so well that a guy is just open.
Right.
Know?
Right.
We had
yeah.
none of that.
Yeah, nothing. Right. Every throw was into tight coverage.
Yes. And asking guys to win one-on-one matchups when you don't have the personnel to do it. And like, just no. Right. Scheming a guy open.
Right. And I also, look, I don't want to talk about professional coaches like they're just total dopes. But how many times did we see last year's offense just run hitches across the field?
Oh, God.
Just 6 yards and turn around. Every receiver.
Right.
Why are right. you doing that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, you were like more early on Dable. Like, I mean, and look, they haven't even played a game yet, so I might switch my opinion on that. His answer to, you know, when he was asked about going for it on fourth downs, I mean, it's about as perfect an answer as you could have a guy give. That
yeah.
like, you know, he pays really close attention to the analytics, but then he factors in all the things you would think about score and whatever and team and weather and blah, blah, blah. And in that particular instance, he just went with the number that was, you know, it's like, and what a breath of fresh air that was.
Yeah, I know.
And how just he's gone for it on fourth down a few times in the preseason without any fanfare, just in like on the 45 or 40, you know, 40 yard line, just like, yep, we're going for it. No big deal. Just like, it was such a pleasure to hear that answer. And I'm not even like the biggest analytics guy, but like, yes, like it was just perfect. You know, like, of course I have somebody who like gives me that number, you know, I know like the percentage and then I make a judgment call. Like, perfection. That was just that was music to my ears.
Yeah, there was last year Brandon Staley, the coach of the Chargers, he gave some answer. I can't remember on what topic. Or it was actually a couple of weeks in a row where he gave some answers that then went viral on Instagram or whatever. And then like all of sort of X's and O and analytics Twitter was sort of annoyed. Like, this isn't a unique answer. This isn't like the best answer. It's just it's the answer. It's not
right,
nothing
right.
special about this answer. It's like, but the problem is, it is a special answer.
Yeah.
Because too many of these guys, like Joe Judge,
right.
can't give you that answer. Not won't, not don't, can't.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And Joe Judge with the God Almighty with how many times he faked going for fourth down. Unbelievable.
Like, that is just, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Pee wee football stuff.
Right.
What are you doing?
Right. To lead the league in that category is just like, was such a just perfect encapsulation of everything wrong with that guy.
We ran that play more times last season than we scored touchdowns.
Right. Probably.
Probably.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I don't have that statistic, obviously, but I think it's probably close.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Right.
And, you know, look, I don't want to go crazy about Daniel Jones. He wasn't like, oh, my God, he's the answer. But, man, I needed to see it, man. He just looked sharp. He looked in control. It was, you know what I mean? He made good throws. He looked good. It was like, okay, like, we can start the season with this guy. Like, because everything you've been hearing is just like, oh, what, another nightmare practice. Like,
yeah.
And it's the second team defense of the Bengals. It's not like, okay, I'm sold on him. But, like, he looked good in an NFL game. They scored a touchdown. He has now looked good in both preseason games. He looked in command. He looked like he knew where he wanted to go and what he was doing. You know, he looked like he's comfortable anyway.
Right. He looked like a guy who was playing in an offense that had like a coherent thing going on there. like he could have some confidence
right. That
he wasn't just going to be like, oh shit, none of the hitches are open.
Right.
What do I do? But Dable actually had a pretty great answer, I think today, or maybe it was after the game, I don't know, but about Daniel Jones. And he kind of said, you know, it's hard to judge us off of practice because we're trying a lot of stuff, both on offense and defense. And sometimes when you're trying things, they're not going to go that well. What matters is how you play in the games. And so far through two games, Daniel Jones has played well. So, like, that's what really matters right now, not the practice performances. And now I do think it's a stretch. Like, I would describe his first preseason game as more like no major issues rather than like good, you know, just like not kill yourself horrible. Right. And then this week he played, you know, good. And I would also, like, I'm not super enthused about it. It's not going to change my opinion of him. It just is like you're kind of describing, I think, a relief that the season can be watchable.
Yeah, I mean, I think he, like, to me, I do think I think the Tyrod Taylor stuff should be put to bed. Like, I do think he's played well enough that, like, there is no reason you would start the season with another quarterback. He's been fine. Like, he's earned the right to, like, okay, let's see him in a regular season game. Like, and I'm not saying I have huge expectations for him. I just think at least, okay, he's been fine in the preseason. Like, he's
right.
been fine to good. I like, there's been nothing wrong with how he's played. Through two games.
Right. Yep. Fair.
So
fair.
That's, you know, it's something.
It is. It is something. And Kayvon Thibodeau avoided major injury. I almost just started crying.
Yeah, that was like, no way.
Right. Yeah. Like, I almost just instantly burst into tears. It's just,
it still stinks though, right? I mean, it's an MCL, what, sprain? Like, it's not nothing.
Right. Yeah, it's not what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
But he could still be on the field week one.
Right. That would be
so,
nice.
Yeah. Whatever. These days with the Giants, have you heard? So, Colin Johnson, did you hear about him?
Oh, I know. What a shame.
I know. Mostly for him.
Oh, God. But, I mean, I think he was really coming on. I was like,
yeah.
You know, with Galladay, you're just feeling like, here's this guy who's like a hungrier version of him who maybe like is just younger and is not going to be as good as Galladay at his peak, but maybe is the better player right now. And like,
yeah,
I thought that was a real shame. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that sucks so bad. But so a little bit of Giants Twitter was carrying on today about all the injuries and the turf, the Giants turf causing all these injuries. Cause I guess that guy Beavers out of Cincinnati, who I really liked at Cincinnati, when I watched some of their like big games this year. You know, he's out for the year too. And they were saying like, well, Colin Johnson happened at practice where they practice on grass. So it's not like the MetLife turf. But then Dan Duggan posted a couple of past questions that he had asked about the turf at MetLife. And as usual, I feel like John Mara just does not know. He just never gets it. This never gets it. So he asked John Mara about the turf. And I'm not going to get into his whole entire answer, but he's part of it is he goes, over the past few years, there was a significant difference in lower leg injuries between grass and turf. And this past year, for whatever reason, it was almost exactly the same, which was kind of a pleasant surprise. So like in the past, the turf that we use had a lot more lower leg injuries and it wasn't even close. But last year they were closer. So
that's I'm not going to do anything about it.
Right, right. So I'm glad that I don't have to address the problem here. That's a relief to me personally.
Like, yeah, I mean, they should really be looking into it. I mean, they got to figure out why they're getting guys injured at a much higher rate than everybody else. Like, they got to figure it out. Like,
right. Also, like, whatever. I don't care. Maybe there is nothing wrong. Maybe it's all in everybody's head. Maybe it's that black cat from whenever it was that black cat incident happened. Just tear up the turf and put something else down.
Just
do it to get the juju out, you know?
Right. If there's even a chance it's the turf, get rid of the turf.
Right.
Yeah. Like whatever the cost that you're saving can't equal what you're losing in injured players. Like,
also, I don't care about your money. Just do something. Make us better. Make this problem go away.
Right, right.
Throw even your money marginal. At it.
So they practice on grass. That's interesting.
I know. Right? Why are you doing that if you're playing on turf?
Why are you doing that?
Right. Or just play on grass. Put the grass down.
Yeah. Well, I don't like it.
I don't like it at all. But I do like Dable, and I like Shane. And I like what they're doing. It's just so comforting to have. I mean, look. I'm not saying that this is what Daniel Jones is going to do, nor am I really crediting these coaches exclusively, but the two guys in charge of our offense coached Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
They were their position coaches at their previous jobs. Like, they can, something's going to happen.
It's not even the quarterbacks though, you know, it's like those two offenses, you know, like
great.
And those guys are obviously great. Like, I don't think he's going to turn, but it's just the way those teams play offense. It's just
right.
So much better than the way we were playing offense. Like just the style. Again, I guess go back to like the easy throws, you know, the like,
yeah. I mean, ultimately that's probably what NFLosophy sees in us.
Yeah.
Just sees a massive jump in the quality of just the efficiency of the offense. Like, we are going to have the easiest schedule in the league this year. And we're just going to play a style of football that is so lends itself more to winning.
Yeah.
So there's got to be a job. I'm feeling very good about my over-under bet. I'm really glad I did that.
Okay. I could see that. I don't know. I mean, I this is only one preseason game. You shouldn't react to the preseason, but I was feeling really down on the Giants.
Yeah.
And I just feel at least it gave me like week one. I'm like going to tune in with, okay, maybe won't suck.
Yeah.
I don't know if that I think we won't. I'm prepared for us to be terrible again. But it seems at least conceivable that we might score some points on offense.
You reached a level of not indifference, but I guess surrender. You had reached a level of surrender about this team that mildly alarmed me. I was like, you know, he just moved. He's probably tired, you know, exhausted. I don't know, but he is really surrendered to the fate of this team.
Yeah, I mean, it just felt like, what the hell are we doing? I don't know why, but like the Daniel Jones sucks in practice reports. Just over the edge.
Getting overwhelming.
Come on.
Right.
Just like, and it was just the offense, you know, every day it was like the offense didn't look good today, you know, and the only premise of how this team could be even remotely enjoyable is an improvement on offense. You know?
Yeah.
I can't watch any more of this. I can't watch any more games where we can't score the ball and can't move. I can't move it.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
I think there's going to be a pretty big jump in excitement on both sides of the ball, tell you the truth.
True. Right. 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 I don't even care if we get burned. Yeah, right. Blitz.
Yeah.
Then the house. Just do something. Enough. Everything was so safe and brutal. Just like, let's play back and let them just dink and dunk us, and then we'll tighten up in the red zone. No.
Right. So that was great. Every Sunday, just to watch other teams run long, boring drives, and for us to just go three and out constantly.
Right.
Such torture.
Just attrition. I know. This game stinks. God, right. This is awful.
Yeah.
Right. Just aggressiveness. Just show some aggression. I don't care in either direction.
Yeah. Right. Be our aggression.
Right.
Play it out for us. But I still think there's a lot of stuff to be excited about. I mean, where are you with Saquon right now? What is your relationship to Saquon?
I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing Saquon. I will say, if Saquon's not good this year, like, he should be arrested and jailed and never, like, he should be banished from the league if he's not a Pro Bowl player this year.
I totally agree. And I want to be clear. I don't know that there's a level at which he can play that will justify his attitude right now. No, like, no one believing in you at the moment is well earned, Saquon. It's not like circumstance or just, you know, chance. You have not been good. Like, the dancing thing, that's not fake.
Yeah.
It's real.
Right.
It's valid.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, enough with all the haters or just whatever. Just if you play well, I will enjoy it. But
yeah.
Nothing is going to justify the attitude you have now because people don't believe in you because you have not been good.
Right.
It's not that complicated.
Right. I know that's hard for you because you've always been good and you were not expecting to ever not be good. And but you have not been good. Like,
yeah.
You are in that. There's been lots of you guys, lots of running backs that everybody thought were absolute home runs, who haven't worked out, and you are right now are in that group. And
yeah.
If you're, look, I'll be all about it. I think it's great. If you want to pull the, like, fuck everyone, I'm going to go out there and shove it up their asses. Like, great. Wonderful. But, like, you better deliver, man. Cause, like,
yep.
You are, like, you could have approached this year quietly with quiet confidence and just said, like, I'm just going to go out there, you know, like, you could have taken that tact. You've taken the, like, oh, I'm going to, everybody's about to see attacked. So
right.
We are.
Yeah. Right. Right. We are about to, we will judge.
Right. And I hope that we're, you know, you're in the, you know, your side comes through, but like, yeah, if you're not good this year, man, like you need to be, you know, imprisoned.
Do you think the Giants just like, not even, because we've been so bad for the last few years. I mean, you could really say it about anybody who got drafted by us. But were we the worst possible team to get Saquon? Just the kind of like the person that he is and the vibe of our franchise. I sort of feel like that was not good from the start.
Yeah. I mean, I think just given, I don't know, maybe probably. Like, I think from who we've had running our offense, like we were the worst possible team.
I don't even know schematically, but just like the way the Giants just give a hug to certain people.
Right, right.
And keep them nestled in their bosom. Like Saquon was probably a guy who could have used a bit of a tougher hand.
Right, right, right. Yeah. We were just going to be all in from the jump.
Yeah. I just can't believe the tone deafness of his attitude. I don't get it.
I know. It is weird. Like, I get it on the one hand, but it's not like oh, people, you know, he's had these great years and people are like nitpicking him, or, you know, he had one good season and then like his second year was okay. And then the last two have been horrendous.
Yeah. And even the one he got hurt, you were going nowhere.
No, I mean, you weren't like, you were, I mean, it was one game, but I mean, like, he wasn't off to a good start. Yeah.
Right. It was humiliations galore. why is it preseason? Why do we even have preseason?
I know. Why does it last so damn long?
Right.
There should be
It started in July.
One preseason game. All right. Get it, everybody. And then you're ready.
Yeah.
Three.
It feels longer this year for some reason. Is that just me?
Well, because the season doesn't start then until, like, you think it should be, always feels like it should be Labor Day weekend, but then it's the next weekend.
Right.
Because they don't actually want to start on Labor Day weekend.
Right. What is our next preseason game against the Jets?
Yes.
Okay. Then we close with the Pats?
We played the Pats. We played the Patriots already. I don't remember who the final game is again.
Okay. The Jets are playing their starters. They've announced it.
Are they playing? But not Zach Wilson, right? He's hurt still, right?
Right. Yeah. Probably Flacco. Okay. Yeah. What is going on with him, Zach Wilson, anyway? I know he's hurt, but he's might be okay for week one.
Maybe, but it sounds like probably not.
We're going to have
surgery. I mean, he had like an arthroscopic surgery.
Yeah. We're going to have Baker Mayfield is going to be the starter week one for Carolina.
I did know that.
Yeah. I think it's scarier than Sam Darnold.
Definitely. Definitely. Even though I don't think Baker's that good, but he's been way better than Sam Darnold.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Sam Darnold straight up sucks. Like, he's terrible.
He's terrible. He's awful.
There's no real argument for Sam Darnold.
He got stripped naked by Ohio State's defense in his final college game, too. And yeah. I hung on to that going into that draft, and I sort of felt silly about it at a certain point. But no, now I stand by it.
Right. He was undressed. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. It by like a real defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Baker, on the other hand, I've never forgiven for his antics in Ohio State.
Yeah, he's the worst.
He's terrible.
I can't stand Baker Mayfield. He's another guy who's so like, acts like he's been already this great
That's
player.
True.
Who like, dude, they traded you, like they got rid of you and they went with like a guy they knew was about to like serve a lengthy suspension and who was in the midst of 24 sexual assault civil trials. They were like, we'd still prefer that. Right. And most people were like, yeah, no, I get that. That right. makes sense.
Well, I don't want Baker.
I don't want Baker Mayfield. Yeah. Like, he's another guy who's like, I know he was hurt last year and that's a factor, but like, he wasn't good, you know? He hasn't been that great any of the years that he's been in the league.
Well, I mean, that's like his whole story is like, you're not that good, but he has all this moxie that somehow plays itself, you know, him into these positions. And it's worked, but, you know, obviously you hit a level with that.
Yeah. But, yeah, I agree that he's the scarier of the two options. And he could be good this year. I don't know. You know, he's not untalented.
I mean, that, I would love to stick it to Baker. I would love to stick it to Matt Rhule.
Yeah.
Like, that's, for me, it's become an exciting first move. And I first was like, oh, Carolina, who cares?
True. Stupid. You know uniforms. What? Not unlike last year's game where I think we were really right on about like they were playing the Broncos and it was sort of the perfect test.
Yeah.
This isn't a bad one to get a pretty quick gauge where it's like, if we're going to be any good, we should beat this team. And if they make us look bad, that's a bad sign. You know,
that's like, true.
It's a pretty good barometer of like, are we going to be worth anything at all? Like we could lose a close game and I wouldn't be depressed. But like, if we got handled and we, you know, we scored like 14 points or something, that would be really discouraging.
Right, yeah. If Carolina is clearly better than us, we're in deep shit.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah. Very similar to last year's opener, where it was like, oh no.
Yeah.
This Broncos team just like really outclassed us.
Right. And who did they have? Teddy Bridgewater at that point? Still?
Yeah. It was just like, we were like, no, in this case, overreaction Monday is appropriate reaction Monday.
Right. That's right.
And this year, I think the stakes are just as high. Like, the Giants week one game is different than other teams' week one games. Like,
that's true.
We learn what we need to know.
We learn what we need to know. I would like to learn sooner, but I guess we have to wait. Anything else on the G-Men, Brian?
No, I think speaking of waiting, it's a good segue. How long are we going to wait for our Donovan Mitchell? Do we keep waiting? Will we wait forever? Are you tired of waiting?
I sort of forgot to reply to the thread with Matt, the text with Matt, where you guys left it. I'm sort of on your, like, so our friend Matt, friend of the pod, who's been on the show a couple times, proposed a gentleman's agreement in our group text that we all agree to celebrate the trade regardless of the trade. I didn't catch it. I was asleep already, and I just go for Brian was like non-committal at best.
I totally get where he's coming from. Like, he's like, once we make it, we gotta just be in it. And I'm like, no. I'm sort of like, no, I don't think I can do that. I want to feel good about the trade, you know? Like, I don't.
Me too.
There's a. I'll say this. It would have to be really bad for me to, like, be the turd in the punch bowl on the group text. Like, but there's a trade that we could make that I'd be like, come on. Because there just seems no reason for us to, you know.
There's nothing. This is driving me nuts about, you know, like, the longer this process plays out, the more annoyed I feel about Danny Ainge's reputation. Danny Ainge cannot manufacture a trade market that doesn't exist.
Right.
It doesn't matter how long he waits. We have the best package.
Yeah.
We, like, our even, like, B offer is way better than anything anyone else can offer. He can't create that out of nothing.
Right. And we should be willing to enter the season without this guy. Like,
absolutely.
We don't have to make this trade. Like, I like the team. Like, they can
totally
go in and, like, let's see what our team is. And then maybe we make a trade. Like, we don't have to do this.
They're under the gun more than we are for the start of the season because they want a tank. Right. So they don't want him on the team.
They want this French freak, and I don't blame them, but they can't do that. They can't get that guy if Donovan Mitchell's on the team. So they got to get rid of him. I know. Like, they're under all the pressure.
Right. I think we know that, though. The fact that we haven't done anything yet, I think the Knicks know it.
Do you think RJ Barrett in the trade is, like, a non-starter for you?
Well, I wouldn't love it. But it would scare me. But I think I can live with what you said in the group text where, all right, if you get RJ, that's it.
Yeah, I'll put him in the deal. But, like, that's what you get.
Right.
Like, you get RJ and then you get maybe, like, two nice picks. And then, you know, and
that's
then you
it.
Get some filler. Like, I'm not,
yeah.
You don't get any of the Grimes, Obi,
right,
quickly at
quickly.
That point. Because we
right.
need all those guys then. That's the
right.
whole, like, we got to have a decent team. Like, you get RJ, you get potentially a star player, and you can, but who won't move the needle probably this year enough. You could still be a terrible team. And then you add whoever this draft pick is to RJ, and now you're on your way. But, like, you don't get four picks and RJ, like, and Grimes and whatever else if we're putting RJ in the deal.
Right. Like, exactly. The idea of the trade is not to upgrade from, like, a C to a B minus.
Right.
You know, that doesn't help anybody.
Right. It's not to be a contender, but, like,
Right.
We
correct.
Need exciting young players. Like, you get, if you get RJ, I'm sorry. That's a big piece for you to get. Like,
right. Yeah, no. No way. But right, if that's all you get. But I don't think it's going to go that way,
like,
honestly.
If it's RJ and an Obi or a Quickly, I would be like, damn. Like,
yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah. No, I would hate that. I would absolutely hate
it. Like, if it's RJ at the, is the centerpiece, then, like, now you're picking from the Cam Reddish pool.
Yes, tier. You know? Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, maybe you take an Evan Fournier. Like, that's where you're...
Yeah.
That's your second player. He comes out of that pocket of...
Maybe Atlanta will send them Knox on our behalf.
Right. Right. But you don't get any of the... Yeah. The luxury goodies after that.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't even go... I think if we're not putting RJ in, I might even go two of the Grimes, Obi, Quickly, triumvirate. But if I do that, then again, then you're not getting, you know, the bevy of picks. That you
all
know
the
mean?
Picks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
all right. How... I mean, like, describe... I guess on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you secretly just want to roll with what we got?
I mean, like a 7, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's, I mean, I like the idea of getting Donovan Mitchell. He is really good. It would be really fun. But I really do, that those three guys, those four, or four, if you include, you know, RJ, man, I do really want to see that. Like, I would love to see... I mean, that's why I was so down on, like, the Brunson thing, even. Like, Quickly, Grimes, RJ, Obi, and Mitch. Like, I would really like to just... I know it's silly, and I'm being crazy fan and overrating our own players. I would love to see those five guys on the floor together.
I agree. I agree, though.
Appreciate it. Like, I would really like it, and I've put up with a lot of terrible teams, and, like... You could make us all happy.
Right. I just think the big traumatic event for all of us is the Melo trade. Because it was so unnecessary for us to make ourselves or to just give away players like Gallinari when all we could have done was waited.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, look, Melo was a better player, and we gave up less than we're talking about right now. So, like,
right.
You know.
That's true.
Because I think in hindsight, the Melo trade was okay. Like, I think the Stoudemire signing was probably more damaging in the long run and whatever. Well, I will say, like, when I'm on Knicks Twitter now, like, I like really like RJ Barrett, but man, some of these guys, like, they love him. You know, I'm like, are you sure? He's good. He's really good, but I don't know.
There's an account that's like posting a one RJ Barrett bucket a day until the season starts. And it's like, man.
Yeah, like, I don't want to be like, I don't know if you read, like, Macri was kind of writing about this, that, like,
yeah,
sort of like, if you're not all in on RJ Barrett, like, what are you doing? You know, like, you're a Knick fan, like, he's that guy. And, like, I sort of agree with that, but I don't know. Like, in the way that those Giants fans who, like, didn't like Eli, you're like, what
right.
are you doing?
Yeah.
Is RJ that, though? Like, I know
no.
he was, like, the third pick in the draft, but, like, I think it's okay to side-eye RJ still a little bit, like.
100%. Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I desperately want RJ to take the next step.
Right.
But I am also willing to just cut his throat and let him go. If he's not good, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Eli hit a point early where I was like, I'm going down with this guy.
Right, right.
I will, to the death, defend him. And I'm just not there with RJ. I'm not going to defend him to the death. I like him. I hope we keep him. I don't want to trade him. But if he sucks, I will hate him.
Right. I just think, like, Eli was, like, a quarterback that was taken number one overall that we then traded, like, everything to get.
Yeah.
Like, we had no choice but to, like, RJ, I know he was the third pick in the draft, but in a year where everybody knew the top two picks were like way above everybody else. And he didn't come in with like sky high expectations, you know?
Right. Yeah. So, and he hasn't lit the world on fire. He's been pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah. Right. Pretty good. Right. Pretty good. Right. It's like, and I want to be there, but like, and then he'll just go out there and it's like 3 for 17, you know? And you're like,
yeah.
Oh man. He was garbage tonight.
I know. Or just like brutal non-finishes at the rim. Like,
yeah.
Bust his way down there. It just, how like, do you
is
not.
Am I ever going to put it together? I don't know. Yeah. Like, what am I really watching here?
No, I know. For sure. He's definitely not at the level where you just blind faith. I have much angst and suspicion.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, I that would be more like, it's closer to like feeling that way about Daniel Jones. Like, it would be crazy. No one would say that, you know, but like, right. I feel like RJ's closer to that.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. Like, you don't have to go down with Daniel Jones just because we took him where we took him, you know?
Right.
Like,
right.
You don't have to be all in on him.
I think possibly RJ's biggest mistake of his entire career was to take that Duke picture with Daniel Jones in both their rookie years.
Right.
Somebody in the Knicks needed to get ahead of that.
Right. And I like him. I know. I appreciate all that. He clearly is going to maximize his potential. He's like a grinder. He loves being on the Knicks. He clearly wants to be the guy. But I mean, man, it's not like he's been even close to actually being like the dude.
Yeah, not close.
Yeah.
Not close at all. I know. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just sort of, at first I was annoyed that we weren't getting any news about Donovan Mitchell. And then I was just kind of like relieved. Just whatever. I guess we'll know when we know. We don't have to speculate about it endlessly.
Yeah.
Just hopefully Leon Rose holds out.
Right. I just don't. I mean, I just like here, I totally get it. It's like, oh, wanting to just pop the champagne. We got him. Whatever it took. I don't want to get him and feel bad about it. I don't want to see someone go I really didn't want to see go.
Right.
Along with every, you know, like it has to make some sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a death on like Game of Thrones or something. Like.
Yeah.
I like it when some of the characters die unexpectedly to keep me on my toes, but there's just some people I don't want to see them go.
Right.
I need them there till the finale.
Right. You can't kill everybody.
Yeah.
Right. You can kill many a Stark, but not all of them.
Right. Well, good news for New York's other basketball team. It seems as the Kevin Durant situation has resolved itself and he'll be staying.
Yeah. He's coming back.
I love that announcements get made like Kevin Durant has decided to just play the season. Like, did he decide that or did he have zero choice whatsoever?
Right. And now he's like, no, I want to stay.
Right.
I made the choice affirmatively because I am in control. I don't know. I really don't get that guy.
Right.
I don't know what he's chasing or what he's trying to do or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Because make no mistake about it, Kev, that's the first loss of the player empowerment era, I think.
Right, right.
You know, like you tried to swing your dick around and the other guys were like, meh.
Yeah, right. No trade really materialized. You know, he's in a tricky spot because he's like, he's had some really bad injuries. And he was hurt a lot last year, and he's getting old. You know, it's hard to know when he's, like, are you really going to commit to him?
Well, exactly, right? Like, trading him is he's not in a tricky spot at all.
Right.
Because, like you just said, he's had all these injuries, and he's still on a contract that's guaranteed for, like, 3 more years. You know? So, just whatever. Sorry,
Kevin Durant.
But yeah, you just lost that one. It's like, okay, I love how it went from I need to be traded to then the first step back was, all right, you don't have to trade me, but then you have to fire Bobby Marks, and Steve Nash. And then it was just like, all right, fine. I've decided that I can still work with the these guys. Like, no. And, you know, I know that the thinking behind this always seems to be you can't piss off or you can't mistreat a player because then the other players know it and then they'll never want to come play for your franchise. But the truth is, no one has been mistreated. If not, if anything, like, they've all been accommodated to the maximum degree.
Yeah.
And I just can't imagine there are real NBA players out there who are like, I can't believe the way the Nets are treating those guys.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I think most NBA players are like, what is going on with those guys?
Yeah. Or even if they like them or respect them, I can't imagine their sympathy for their situation.
Yeah. Man, there's never been like anyone who has like played their career in a way to just sabotage themselves for no good reason, you know, that should have been one of the most beloved athletes of all time, was like a likable guy, everyone was happy with him, and just, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I know, he really tanked that just so badly.
Yeah,
Bill Simmons did a big defense of him. Like, if I was going to be his defense attorney, here is the case I would make.
Right.
And he just looked at the other teams that where he could have gone in that the year he left OKC. And like that you could make a case that the Warriors were actually like he didn't have a ton of great choices.
Right.
And I could see the only thing area where I could have sympathy for the OKC situation is, yes, you come back to try and beat the team that just barely knocked you out, except when you come back your teammate is still Russell Westbrook, and I could just see why after like what 8 years he's just like, all right, like enough,
I guess. But like, that's in hindsight, that's like Russell Westbrook. Oh, Russell Westbrook at the time, like, he won the MVP the next season.
Right.
He was great, you know? Like, it's, well, only recently, like, really, only year that Russell Westbrook was not a positive player on the team he was on was last year. Like,
no, I'm not insinuating that he wasn't a good player or an awesome player. Just, I can imagine why he's not fun to play with if you're Kevin Durant.
Yeah. I guess. It seemed like a good combination.
Yeah, I guess, right? Yeah, Kevin Durant doesn't like wanna be,
but like, you know, he they have complimentary games, like they seemed like a really good match.
Yeah. Well, also, he, you know, Simmons ultimately was just like, I would not defend him, I just, yeah, like, yeah, as an exercise wanted to craft a, yeah, defense, but it's all ultimately indefensible.
Like, you could defend him if, like, leaving OKC and wanting sort of a different lifestyle or like a bigger market, you know, but it's like to go to Golden State.
Yeah.
And then seemingly like OKC was actually more of the life that you kind of enjoy. Like, I don't know. And even I think some interview he gave with Zach Lowe where it was like, you know, I want to win. I'm obsessed with winning, but like, I don't pick my teams like just based on winning, like I'm trying to grow individually as a player, you know. And it's like, what a bizarre approach.
Right.
Like, what, you know? And just like, I don't know, like you're trying to just create some basketball nirvana that you're seeking, and
but like for yourself.
Right
Yeah, like,
okay,
all right, whatever, that sounds like your deal, that has nothing to do with me.
I don't know. I don't know if we should care. Maybe he should be allowed to go wherever he wants. I just like, hey, he's such a dick about it.
Well, but I mean, that's the thing, right? He is allowed to go wherever he wants. Right, he went, right, wherever he wanted, yeah, but he was a dick and people got mad.
Yeah, they didn't like it. Right. They're allowed to not like it.
You know, it's the same thing with like the Donovan Mitchell trade. The reason I won't accept anything at all is because, you know, like, I can accept, like, a B-minus restaurant. I can accept, like, a B-minus pretty much everything. Like, that's just my status in life. It's essentially B-minus. Like, that's what I get. But, like, in my sports teams, you guys should be going balls to the wall. John Mara, spend all your money to make the perfect field so there are no injuries. You know, like, Leon Rose, do only the best possible job. Like, don't just do something to do something. That's not okay. There's too much at stake. My emotional well-being.
Yeah. You know what it kind of reminds me of, though? It's a little like cancel culture complaints. Like, you know, Kevin Durant, yeah, man, you can do whatever you want. You can demand a trade. Yes. You can go to any team you want. People don't have to like it. They have all the equal right to be like, boo, I think it stinks.
Right.
And there's no way to, like, eliminate that. You know, they get to do it. Like, so you can get on stage and you can say whatever you want, but somebody in the audience has the right to be like, boo.
Yeah.
I hate this. And like, what? There's no way around that.
And I feel like Durant and Kyrie, more so Kyrie, they always have this attitude about like, well, we're the players. Like, people don't know. All those people show up. They don't know. Booing. Like, they're not us. They don't know what it is to be us. And it's like, correct. No one's disputing that. But the only reason you are paid and treated as you are is because we all want to watch you play. Like, so we get to make our feelings known.
Right, right. Or you can't prevent it. Yeah, right.
Like, yeah.
There's no way to prevent it. Yeah, the interest drives it, and it's part of it. Yeah. I mean, yep. I get it being annoying, too. Like, but yeah, lots of things are annoying, you know?
Yeah. A lot of aspects of everybody's job are annoying.
Everybody's
get
life
over it.
Is annoying. My life yeah. has plenty of annoyances. We all have things we don't like.
That was like our reaction to Jeremy Shockey not liking Tom Coughlin. It's like, yeah. Oh, you don't like your boss? Like half of America or
right,
more?
Right, right.
You know,
right.
Like, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brian, I feel like I never talk to you anymore because you live in Connecticut. And that's not true, obviously. It's because it's because both of us have been pretty busy lately.
Yeah.
But it's also because you live in Connecticut. And that's just a fact. But how is Connecticut, Brian? I don't know what's going on with you lately. What's going on?
I really think it's because we didn't do a show last week.
And yeah.
That's really it. But
well, and I started football.
Yeah.
And yeah. No, I'm not actually blaming Connecticut. I'm not a lunatic. I'm just rather put it that way.
Connecticut is wonderful. I'm enjoying Connecticut. My home is great. My mother was visiting this week, so that was less than great. But
is she gone?
Well, she's been a little in and out. We actually went to the Catskills for the weekend, and my brother Tom came down for a day.
Oh!
And played with my children. And we've been doing this thing. We've made the same mistake every August of COVID, which is running out of camps, and because we work from home now, thinking, oh, you know what? We'll save some money the last 2 weeks. We'll just have them home, you know? And my son, Nate, does not respond well to that kind of unstructured lifestyle. And when he's just watching YouTube and watching TV and playing on his own, he doesn't thrive in that environment.
Right. And why can't kids handle downtime?
He's not been a pleasant person to be around. And my mom got to witness it, and that wasn't so great, you know?
Oh my goodness.
Oh god.
Hopefully none of it was directed at her.
No, but you know, there was some talk back, and you know.
Yeah. Oh, I know how that is.
Yeah, it's humiliating, you know.
I know.
He like hit Alice in front of my mom. And she's, Brian, you have to. I mean, I know you do, but he has to, you know. Yes, right. Mom, I just need to one time. I never thought of one time really mentioning it to him and, you know, not. Never thought of telling him that he's not supposed to do that.
Right. It's really just your mother being like, you have to do something because something should be done and I don't know what to do. So
yeah,
you need to do something.
Yeah, he's
one of the things I've really learned as a parent like having worked in a school for over a decade before even becoming a parent, you know, you get parents. Look, you get a whole spectrum of parents, but you do get quite a few parents who come up because their kid got into some trouble and you're telling the parent about, and the parent is like, yeah, I know that he does that. I'm not denying it.
Yeah.
I'm also not addressing it. I tell him to stop. But he keeps doing it and I don't know what to do about it. And they'll just say it and they'll be really vulnerable about it. And honestly, like, you know, there's some people that are going to come up and just deny it. There's some people you could tell kind of just like, whatever, but like, and like, what can I do? It's more like, I don't care. But there are some people who are like, no, what can I do? Please. Yeah. You guys work with children. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
And I, since becoming a parent, I totally get that. Like, I could very easily picture myself getting a call from Haley's middle school dean to tell me that she did something and for me to be like, okay, I believe that. And I tried to quell that, but that's
to no part avail.
Part of who she is. So I, you know,
I'll
dress it somehow, I suppose.
Yeah, right. I know. Like, I'm not unaware of it. I've tried all the, I've read books. I've tried the tactics and the different approaches and the different schools of thought. And then I always end up at some point with him screaming at me and throwing things at me and kicking me and taking a swing at me, and it stinks.
Yeah. Oh man. So when do they start school?
Next week, Monday.
Monday?
Yeah. Oh, the thing is, at school, Angel, never, no teacher complaints, never. He's intimidated by teachers, doesn't want to get in trouble. You know, in recess, plays with other kids. He doesn't have any issues. It's just at home. He saves it all for us because he loves us
the most. I mean, that's most kids, I think.
I know. A lot of kids are like that.
Yeah. You also get a lot of parents that come up to the school and it's like, no, your kid's great. And they're like, what?
Right. What? I know. Yeah, right. Like, really?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I would like to, I think we should have families FaceTime before their school starts. Haley's been asking, it's been a while since I think the kids have seen each other. Haley's like, can I like Facebook Messenger them? And I'm like, I don't know if they do that, but like, you know, we could try and call them. But I would like to share my new kid at school wisdom with them.
Okay, I will do that.
You know, no tidy whities.
New schools, they're gonna, you know, gonna have new friends.
I know, a whole new world.
Whole new world.
Yeah. This is good prep for them, too. I was telling Nicole, I think that of our friend group, I think I adjusted the most seamlessly to not living at home.
To not living at home.
Like, to like going, like when we all left our homes to go away to school.
To go to life. Yeah.
Well, not life. I'm not saying I was better at life. I definitely wasn't better at life than everybody. But just that I wasn't so shook by like the massive environment change.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I did that stupid PG year. So my first year at home was like in bed by 9:30 and
right. It was hell. Right. Was terrible. So you're right. You don't really count with that, I guess.
Yeah. That was a poor choice.
Right.
Oh God.
But it's easier when you've moved because when you move, you're the only new kid. In college, everybody's new.
That's true. I can see that. Yeah.
For the most part.
It's so weird because like, do you think Nate, like he's going to move in the second grade? Like if he like plays this out to high school, like.
Right. That'll be behind him.
Yeah. He'll feel like, I think Alice will still recall the experience of like, she's 10 years old. She's had real friends. Yeah.
So we'll it's see. So different now though. Like when I moved, I moved somewhere between second and third grade, like, I was going to like write a letter to Joe Cerami. You know?
Yeah, right. Like, doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Yeah. It is amazing kids though. Like my son, like the lack of the structure, like it's just night and day. Like he's been in a great place. He's 7, you know, he's like, we've been having a ball. We had a great summer. He's doing camp. He was having a blast. It's like something about like, you know, not too much free time. the YouTube, the screens, you know, too much of that.
Yep.
Like, and like makes him like insane, you know, like
definitely
just irritable and like suddenly a different person. It's so amazing to watch. And just like, I know, I just like, this is our third summer of blowing this end of the year. And I'm like, just, I want to like write a note. I'm going to like write a, get a tattoo on my hand that's like, don't do the no camp at the end of summer. Spend the money. Like,
right.
You know, spend the couple $1,000, whatever it is. Get him in, like, because it's, man.
Right. Just think of it as therapy.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Is either of Nate or Alice, I guess Alice is much older. But is Nate the same age as either of Zach's kids?
Yes.
So are they in the same class?
They're not in the same. They're in the same grade, he and the boys.
Yeah. But they're in the same school.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's too bad they're not. He could have known somebody, I guess, going into the first day.
Well, he has met a couple kids who are in his class. So he has like a kid I would almost say he's played with like three or four times.
Okay.
Who's in his class. So that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What about Alice?
Yeah, she doesn't really know anyone yet. But she's met a fourth grader who she kind of befriended. But I'm like, you know, once school starts, that won't do you any good.
Yeah, I know. That stinks. I guess what? Nate had the advantage just because he's the same age as Zach's kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's like, right, there's people in the mix.
Oh, it was funny, though. He went to his friend's birthday party and, you know, met the whole class, essentially, like a lot of kids in the grade. And I did hear some kids like just kind of being like, who are you? You know, like, they're just like, geez, man. Kids are so shitty. You know, I don't know you. Like, okay, well, I don't know you.
Right. Yeah, I know. Let me tell you, one of those kids is probably my daughter, honestly.
Right. Right. I don't know you. I can totally write.
Which is what I'm talking about, right? Like, yeah. I don't want her to do that. She's going to do that.
Like. Right.
Oh, I want to end with this. Do you know that scene in Arrested Development where how they get Anyang to begin with is a flashback? So Lucille is trying to tell Michael that George Bluth must have forged her signature on a form to get her to adopt this Korean kid. And so she must have been swindled. But then the footage shows a flashback of Buster sitting just like dejected with a bowl of cottage cheese in front of him and Lucille signing a document angrily going, maybe I'll get a son who will eat his cottage cheese. So I don't know. Like, I guess I must reference that occasionally, or I don't know. I quote it. I say it. I don't know. But so, you know, for the listeners, my, you know, we're expecting another baby in January, and we were talking and you know, Haley was making a noise that we don't like. She was whining or something. And I was just like, man, I hope Henry doesn't make that noise. Cause that's going to be what we're going to name our son. Like, I hope he doesn't make that noise. And she goes, maybe I'll get a son who will eat my Ace cottage cheese. She like used it appropriately.
That's hilarious.
At me. And I was dying.
That's hysterical. Did she laugh or was she saying it angrily?
No, she was like, I think she knew it was funny. Yeah, so she knew it was a joke, you know, but yeah, I was so proud of her.
Right. That was a proud moment. A well-executed joke is a proud moment.
Right. But I don't even know how she totally gets it. She doesn't watch that show. She only heard me say that, you know. All right, Brian.
All right.
Great catching up with you and our listeners.
Till next week.
Till next week.